If you hear someone crying, what do you automatically think that's going on with that person? Something sad, something is hurting, they are upset, right? If you hear somebody coughing, you automatically think they must be sick. If you hear someone laughing, you might think they must be amused by something going on, right? If you hear somebody griping, they're probably mad, unhappy about something. You see someone yawning, you'd say, oh, they must be kind of tired or sleepy or something. But if you hear somebody whistling or singing, what do you automatically think? When you hear somebody whistling or singing, what do you automatically think? There's somebody that's happy, right? Now, that may not always be the case, but generally speaking, that's what we think, right? When you hear somebody whistling or somebody singing. Tonight, we're going to be talking about why we sing. Why we sing. If anyone should have a joyful song to sing, guess what? It should be us. It should be us. And I'm not just talking about in church. I'm talking about all day long. And even if it's not coming out of our lips, it ought to be in our heart, this song that the Lord has given to us. We're going to be looking at Psalm 118 tonight. Psalm 118. Psalm 118. We're going to read that. I'll read it pretty fast, but then we're going to look at it and talk about it tonight. Why we sing. Why we sing. It says in Psalm 118, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compassed me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord, into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee. For thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee. Send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, and I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Man, I could preach that whole chapter. I could probably be in that probably for a whole year. There is so much in that chapter. I mean, this is like, I mean, when you're reading it and you're thinking about it and you're pondering about what's going on, it's like, amen, amen, amen. That's good, that's good, that's good. Or as the boys and I joke, preach it, because it's there. I mean, you just look at it. So we're going to do a feeble attempt at just kind of summarizing it and looking at it a little bit, because there's no way we can unpack all of it. But it says, why we sing, why we sing. First of all, point number one, the Lord's mercy endures forever. The Lord's mercy endures forever. Now, it says it there in verse 1, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Then it says it again, that his mercy endureth forever, that his mercy endureth forever, that his mercy endureth forever. And then even at the end of the chapter, it says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. So it repeats it several times in Scripture. The Lord's mercy endures forever. First of all, in verse 1, it's kind of a general statement. It's just kind of thrown out there. The same way as it ends the chapter as well. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Just kind of throws it out there in general. The Lord's good. The Lord's good. His mercy endures forever. But then it gets more specific, and it directs it toward Israel. It says, now let Israel now say. And then it directs it specifically to the house of Aaron. And then it directs us in verse 4, if you're paying real close attention there, it says, let them now fear that fear the Lord say. Now, as best I can figure out, in today's age of grace, that'd be us. So, generally speaking, to Israel, his mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord. To the house of Aaron. And then to us, it says, those that fear the Lord. Says that his mercy endureth forever. And really, the end of the chapter, see, I like things in nice, neat packages. And the psalmist obviously liked that too, because it starts out with the same thought and ends with the same thought. So it's tied up in a nice, neat package. The psalmist landed that plane just the way the Lord wanted him to. It's almost like two pieces of bread on a sandwich. You know, I've tried this diet thing. Sometimes I have one piece of bread and stuff on top of it and eat it like that. Just not as good as having a piece of bread on the bottom and a piece. I'm a sandwich kind of guy, right, Jason? I mean, my claim to fame in the family, the Delay family, of making anything that's any count is a sandwich. I do decent at that, don't I, Jason? Did you say it? Oh, okay, good. And it's almost like two pieces of bread. He's just sandwiched together. The idea, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. So point number one, the Lord's mercy endures forever. Why we sing is what we're looking at. Second, the Lord is on my side. Now I read that and it's like, wow, that's pretty cool. I just like the way that's phrased, don't you? It says there, verses 5 to 13. Now again, we're going to kind of summarize this pretty generally. But it says, the Lord is on my side. Look at verse 5. It says, he answers my prayers. I called unto the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place or abundant place, an open area, good place. So I'm thankful that part of the Lord being on my side, he hears and answers my prayers. Now people say, well, God just didn't answer my prayer. That's a wrong statement. Really, the Lord answers every prayer. He does. It's either yes, I'm going to grant what you've asked. No, I'm not going to grant what you request. Or just wait. I'll grant that request later. So really, when someone says, and you hear it in churches all the time, God didn't answer my prayer. Oh, yes, he did. It may not be the way you thought he should or would, but he did. But part of the Lord being on my side, he answers my prayers in verse 5. Verse 6, there where it says that the Lord is on my side, I will not fear what man can do unto me. You know, this old world is getting crazy and crazier, and we know that. It really doesn't matter where it ends as far as me and as far as you, because the Lord's on our side. What in the world can man do to us? They can kill us. That's the worst they can do to us. They can take our physical life out of this world, but all they're really doing is putting us in a whole lot better place, a whole lot better position, graduation time. The Lord is on my side. Not only does he answer my prayer, not only do I not have to worry what man can do to me. Verse 7, he is our ally. He is our ally. You know, in World War II, we had two different powers, right? We had the Axis powers and we had the Ally powers, right? And the Allies was where the United States was, right? But notice what it says here. It is, verse 7. It says, the Lord taketh my part with them that help me. In other words, those that are helping me on my side, the Lord joins right in there and says, I'm on your side. In other words, he's our ally. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. The Lord is on my side. He answers my prayers. I don't have to worry what man can do to me. He is our ally. Verses 8 and 9, it's always better to trust in the Lord. Always better. It's better to trust in the Lord, verse 8 it says, than to put confidence in man. Men will let you down. Man will let you down many times, right? It's better to trust in the Lord. And in verse 9, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. So kind of probably the idea is just man in general. Then it says princes, even those up and inners, those that are leaders. Don't put your confidence in them. You know, really, you can't put your confidence even in political leaders. I mean, I think we need to vote, we need to support, we need to pray for our leaders, absolutely, and those that are best represent God's word, that's who we pray that gets into office. But really, we shouldn't put our trust in that. I think sometimes people get a little carried away, and they almost imply like this country is going to completely turn around to God because of who we put in office. Now, it's true that righteousness exalts a nation. It's better. It says people rejoice when the righteous are in power. Absolutely. All those things are true. But I really believe that if true revival is going to come to our country, it's going to come through our local churches. It's not going to come out of Charleston. It's not going to come out of Washington. I don't believe. And God can do anything. Maybe it will. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be zealous for those that best represent God and be out there and say, guess what? We got to do our part. We got to vote. We got to vote for the... But I do not think we can put our confidence in man. We need to put our confidence in God to the sense that, hey, if something's going to change, if something's going to be real, if we can depend upon something, it's the Lord, right? I better slow down. I'm talking too fast. Anybody got any oxygen here? Okay. The Lord's on my side. He always answers my prayer. I don't have to worry what man can do to me. He is our ally. He's always better. It's always better to trust in the Lord. Verses 10 to 13, even when I am surrounded, the Lord will help me. You know, it talks about all nations compassed me about. They compassed me about, verse 11, they compassed me about like bees. But guess what? It says, the Lord helped me. The Lord's the one that delivered me. The Lord's the one going to destroy them. Aren't you thankful that the Lord is, it doesn't matter who. Now, I think about the Westerns, and that's, you know, you see people say, everything I learned in kindergarten, or everything I learned in church, or everything I learned in Westerns. No, not exactly. But you learn a lot in Westerns. Really, you do, don't you, John? Amen. Come on, a little louder, John. Amen. That's it. And, you know, when people look around and they see the Indians surrounding them, you know, the music always changes and there's the cowboys and they look up and do, you know, it's like, ooh, watch out. They're surrounded. So even when we're surrounded by people or things that oppose us, I'm thankful that the Lord is on my side. I'm thankful that the Lord can take care of his own, aren't you? Even when men might let us down. While we sing, point number one, the Lord's mercy endures forever. And that's a good thing, because if his mercy ran out, what about halfway through heaven? We say, Lord's mercy ran out. Nope. It endures forever. Second, the Lord's on my side. The Lord is on my side. Third, the Lord is my, you ready for this? The Lord is my song. Look there. Verses 5 to 14, I might mention, the Lord is mentioned in every verse. The Lord is mentioned in every verse. Verse 14, notice what it says. It says, the Lord is my song. It says, the Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation. Now, it mentions three things. It says, my strength, my salvation. But it also, when it's saying, the Lord is my strength, you could put an implied my. The Lord is my song. You know, the reason we Christians can have joy is because the song that the Lord gives us, the Lord is what we should be singing about, right? That is what should make us joyful on the inside, so that a song creeps out because of all that the Lord's done for me. When that song creeps out on the outside, you know, I've said this many times, and this is not just a sermon lesson to say, you know, we got to sing in church. I mean, this is way beyond that. But really, I don't understand people. I cannot get it. Now, if you got a cold and your throat hurts, okay, I can understand you sitting there kind of going, I've been there before. You know, you really can't sing a whole lot because your voice hurts or your throat hurts or something's going on, right? But people that don't sing on a regular basis, I'm like, what is up with you? Really? Because if anybody should be singing, the Lord's my song. And let me tell you, you know, the songs of the world, there's some really whacked out ones and say all kind of weird things. But the song that the Lord has given to me is a perfect song. You agree with that? The song that the Lord has given to me is a Purdy song. Purdy. P-U-R-T-Y, Purdy. Somebody that can't spell says, yeah, that's how you spell it, isn't it? The song that the Lord gave me is an uplifting song. The song that the Lord gave me is an enduring song. Actually, the song that the Lord gave me is an everlasting song. You see, the Lord is called in this verse. Now, I know He's called my strength. I know He's called my salvation. We may have even looked at that in the past, but I'm pretty sure we didn't look at He is my song. He is my song. And because He is my song, I want you to notice throughout the rest of this chapter that He causes me to praise, He causes me to rejoice, He causes me to thank, He causes me to declare, He causes me to exalt, and He declares, tells me or causes me to be glad. Notice in verse 15, it says, the voice of rejoicing and salvation. So part of that, Lord, the Lord being my song, I can rejoice. Now, that doesn't mean that there won't be bad things going on around us. That doesn't mean that we won't have bad days. That doesn't mean that we won't have flat tires and bad news and bad relationship problems and people being mean to us and all that. That doesn't mean that. But because the Lord is my song, the Lord is dependable, the Lord is everlasting, the Lord is secure, the Lord is solid, right? And when these other things aren't, that song that the Lord gives me can make me have the voice of rejoicing. Verse 16, it talks about the right hand of the Lord is exalted. You see, when we get that song of the Lord, we want to exalt the Lord, don't we? Don't we want to praise the Lord? Do we want to talk about the Lord? Look at verse 17. Again, we're hitting this pretty quick. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. If you got the Lord, which is our song, you ought to want to declare it to the people around you. Have you ever heard a song and you really, really liked it? You know, like a song. It could be a Christian song. You're like, man, that's good. You know, sometimes the boys, they got really good taste in music. You know, glory bands, some of the Southern gospel stuff. There's a lot of good. There's a lot of good Christian music out there, and the Southern gospel flair is my preference. And there's some bluegrass gospel that's good, and you got all. And sometimes when you listen to a song, you're like, wow, that's really good. Heartland Baptist Bible College, it's probably the boys' second choice about where they would go out in Oklahoma City. They put out a CD every year about this time, about graduation time, and we've been listening to it. Ryan bought it, and he downloaded it to our phones, and we've been listening to it, and we're like, boy, that's good. That's a good song. You put it on, you need to be perked up a little bit. You put it on, and what do you want to do with that? You want to share it, right? I mean, how many times are you going, boy, you got to hear this song? Well, you know what? We ought to want to share the song that we have because of Jesus, my song. Really, we ought to want to declare it, it says. Notice in verse 19, the word it uses, open to me the gates of righteousness, I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. Because of the song He gave us, we ought to praise Him. Verse 21, I will praise Thee, for Thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. Notice in verse 24, again we're hitting it pretty quick, this is the day which the Lord hath made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Why can we rejoice and be glad in every day? Because the Lord is my song. He is my salvation. He is my strength. He is also my song. It says in verse 26, it says, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. You know, that blessing that we can share with others and the blessing that we have is because the song that the Lord has given to us, which is Jesus Himself, that joy that He's given to us. Notice what it says in verse 28. Thou art my God, I will praise Thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt Thee. You see, we can exalt the Lord because He's given us that song. In verse 29, It says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Again, part of the reason we can be thankful is because he is our song. You know, aren't you thankful that someone didn't tell you in some note or something that the pastor is your song? And you say, "Man, I don't know, that preacher, that's not that good of a song. Gets off key sometimes." And guess what? He's not even, he says the wrong thing sometimes. And guess what? He just doesn't appear to me to be too smart sometimes. You know, I'm thankful that when the Lord says he is my song, it's a perfect song. It's a song that's always in tune. You know, I wanted to take just a moment. We'll hit through these pretty quick too. But, you know, the Lord is my song. And you know, that song that we have when we get saved, it's a new song. You know, the Bible in the Psalms in particular mentions about a new song, a new song, a new song, a new song. Now, you may have been going along and your life may have looked like an old country song. You know how it is? You know, when they were talking about playing these songs backwards and everything and how there was demonic messages and all that, someone come up with a funny, says, you know what you do, what you get when you play a country song backwards? You get your wife back, you get your truck back, you get your house back. It was a joke. But, what's your dog back? And the idea is maybe we were walking along in life before we knew Jesus and our life kind of resembled a country song. Guess what? My life doesn't resemble a country song anymore. My life resembles Jesus because he is my song. And he says he gives us a new song. Psalm 33:3, Jason. Psalm 33:3. It says, "Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise." Notice chapter 40 and verse 3. It says, "And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." Psalm 96 and verse 1. It says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth." 98:1. It says, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory." Psalm 144 and verse 9 says, "I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Well, I sing praises unto thee." And the last one, Psalm 149, verse 1. It says, "Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints." You know, tonight, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that the Lord is my song. And I'm thankful that I have that song since I got saved. And it's a new song. You might put it this way. I've been marching to the beat of a different drummer. Once I got saved, the tune changed. It was no longer, "I'm going to do everything to please me," or "I'm going to do everything to please the world," or "look good in the sight of the world." I'm thankful the song that the Lord gave me, I want to please him. I want to do what he wants me to do. He has put us, I like this, he has put us on key with God. We are no longer out of tune with God, but we are in tune with God once we have Jesus as my song. And again, not just at church, not just at church, but whenever we get on our two little feet and our two little legs and walk out of the church, guess what? At least on the inside, there ought to be a song in there. And really, when we do sing songs like Blessed Assurance, did you catch that chorus? That's why we sang it. Did you catch that? I got to go through the song, think what the chorus is. I know what it is. It goes along. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Aren't you thankful that the Lord Jesus is my song? Again, we could be a mess. We could be living our lives just like a country song or some old radical rock and roll song, but I'm thankful I don't have to do that. I have a new song. Since I got saved,
know why I'm here. I know where I'm going to spend eternity. I have peace. I have joy. I have security. And all of that is because when I trusted Jesus, He gave me a new song. The Lord Jesus Himself. I praise the Lord for that. How about you? Again, not just at church. We should sing this new song of joy in our hearts all the time. All the time. Tonight, we looked at why we sing. The Lord's mercy endures forever. Number two, the Lord is on my side. And thirdly, the Lord is my song. The Lord is my song. So again, let me encourage you, Christian. You say, preacher, if you only knew how bad of a day I had. Well, the Bible talks about that. You know, basically man's days are few and full of trouble. I mean, that's true. That comes out of the book of Job. You know, that's true. But regardless of how bad the day might appear, I have a new song. Because at the age of 11, I trusted Jesus as my Savior. You might say at the age of and fill in the blank. But once you got saved, God gave you a new song. And it's a song of joy. It's a song that we can share with the world. And we ought to declare to the world around us. Y'all agree with that? So hopefully tonight you're encouraged a little bit that the Lord is my song. And I have a reason to sing. I mean, really, if you're going down the road, just sing out. People see you next to you, you got your windows rolled down, that's okay. It beats a lot of stuff that they're boom, 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 right? Just sing out. Just sing out. If you're waiting in line, just sing, whistle, whatever you got to do. And they might look around and think you're a little bit crazy, but that's all right. You have the Lord as your song. You got that new song when you were saved. And just praise the Lord for it. Share it with everybody you know. And maybe there's someone, perhaps here, perhaps listening in, says, you know what? I need a new song. My life is the same old, same old. It sounds like those old rock and roll or country songs. It sounds like a mess. Guess what? The Lord wants to save you. The Lord wants to save you. You can be saved tonight. If you're sitting at home listening, guess what? You can be saved tonight. From your heart. This is the key thing. It's not just words. It's got to come from your heart. You can call out to the Lord in prayer to say, oh, Lord, save me. Forgive me of my sins. I'm a sinner. Forgive me. I believe Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sins. Resurrected back to life. I claim Jesus as my Savior. And again, it's not in the words, but you can have a change of heart. And when you have that change of heart and you call out to God, guess what? He can give you a brand new song. The Lord is my song. And your life doesn't have to be that same old recording, that same old song that you've been living. It can be a new song of hope and joy and peace and purpose. And I'm thankful for that. Aren't you, Christian? If you'd bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. If you want to take just a moment, say, Lord, I thank you that you are my song. And it's a good song. It's a perfect song. You want to thank the Lord for that? Just do that right now. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you that you are my song. And Lord, even though life is difficult, Lord, that song doesn't change. Lord, that's a perfect song. Lord, that's a song of joy and hope and peace, as we've talked about tonight. Lord, help us to carry that song with us all the time, at least on the inside. And Lord, every once in a while, let us let it slip out on the outside. And Lord, as we gather together and sing as a church, Lord, I pray we'll just shower down because we have a reason to shower down because you are my song. Lord, if there's anyone listening in, I pray that they'll call out to you in salvation even now. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We thank you for your Bible. In Jesus' name we pray.